going to be in the book of Ecclesiastes tonight. We are in chapter 7, Ecclesiastes chapter 7, and we'll, with the Lord's help tonight, be going from verse 11 to verse 29 and finish the chapter. We covered the first 10 verses the other Sunday night, and we spoke about some things that are better. Tonight, our theme is going to be about wisdom, and I don't guess there's a better man to talk about it than Solomon. Outside of the Lord Jesus Christ, he had more wisdom and knowledge about stuff than any man that ever walked the face of the earth. I believe he has some stuff we need to hear and give us some wisdom. Verses 11 through 14, we're going to look at the prophet of wisdom. Verses 15 through 22, we're going to look at the comparison of wisdom. And then verses 23 through 29, with the Lord's help, we'll look at the search for wisdom. But there's some real good nuggets in this thing tonight, if you'll get a hold of these. And I believe it'll help us and give us some insight into some things that are important tonight. So we'll get started. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse number 11. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse number 11. The Bible says, wisdom is good with an inheritance, and by it there is profit to them that see the sun. You need wisdom when you get an inheritance. The worst thing you can do is leave an inheritance to your children and them be a bunch of dummies. If they don't have a clear work ethic, if they haven't been taught right, if they don't have wisdom, it doesn't matter how hard you worked, how many years it took you. Listen, you might have took you 40 years to save up that money, and you die and leave it to them, they'll have it all spent on nothing in 6 months. You folks that get coming to money, God blesses you with money, or God blesses you with a good job, or God, somebody gives you something, some type of an inheritance. You need to have wisdom. Why don't you ask God, God, what do you want me to do with this? Amen. I've never understood how many lottery winners go broke. Football players who had a career of 9 and 10 years in the NFL making millions every year, broke. Boxers fighting a championship bout, $10 million for that fight, broke. They don't have any wisdom. It doesn't matter. Some of you think, boy, when my parents die, they're going to leave me this, or I'm going to get this, or Papa's going to leave me the back 40. What does it matter what they leave you? If you ain't got any sense when they give it to you. That's a problem. So here's the wisest man that ever lived. He's trying to tell you, man, you need some wisdom with the stuff that you have. And I don't know how much more I can stress that. Many a man has gained a good inheritance only to blow it. And the earthly inheritance is a help and a profit to those who are alive. But man, you got to have some wisdom to deal with what God's given you. So let's just remember that. Maybe I'm speaking to somebody here tonight who's fixing to come into an inheritance or some money. Somebody's saying, boy, bless the Lord, I wish I was. Well, you need some wisdom with it. I hear folks talk about it all the time. Boy, if I just had this, if the Lord just dumped $50,000 in my lap, and boy, if I could just get, I'd pay this off, and I'd do this, and I'd get this, and I'd take care of that. I don't know if you would or not. You know, if you don't have any sense with how to deal with your money, and some of you, you're going to say, yeah, I heard granddaddy say that, or I heard my daddy say, yeah, I've heard several people say that, preacher. But it's not how much you make, it's how much you spend and save. And some of you folks don't believe that. But I'm going to tell you what I've seen in my life. This is not always hold true, but I've seen so many people in my life that'll make one, that, you take my salary and whatever. Now, my wife's got a pretty fair job, and I appreciate what you pay me here. But all my life, I've seen people that our annual income ain't one third or one fourth of what theirs is, and they ain't got near what I got. And I give more money to the Lord than they do, and I got more than they do, and they make three times as much as me. Now, you explain that. Somebody ain't doing right with their money. Let's go on to verse number 2. The preacher's done went to meddling. I'm sorry. I am so sorry. Verse number 12. For wisdom is a defense, and money is a defense. But the excellency of knowledge is that wisdom giveth life to them that have it. Wisdom is a defense, and money is a defense. If you buy a lawyer in your defense, maybe a good doctor. Wisdom is better. Money is a defense, but wisdom is better. Wisdom can give you physical and spiritual life. Money cannot do either. When it comes time for you to die and they say you have an incurable disease, all the money in the world won't help you. When it comes time to face the Lord Jesus Christ, all the money in the world won't help you. But the Bible says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And boy, in the day that you die, and the day that you really need help, it don't matter what's in your bank account. It matters, do you fear God?
Yeah.
And is God going to come to your aid and your help? That's what matters. And by the way, when you get wisdom, you can get money. And by the way, when you have wisdom, if you get a little bit of money, you know what to do with it.
Amen.
Ain't that good? The world's telling you reverse, get money, get this, get that. No, what you need to do is get full of God's wisdom.
Yeah.
That way, if you're full of God's wisdom, you know what to do with what He gives you.
Amen.
You do the right thing with what He gives you. We have a lot of people around here that I think maybe have a lot of knowledge. Maybe they have what we call book sense, but they don't have any common sense. There's a lot of difference between a fellow having a lot of knowledge and knowing a lot of facts, but having wisdom. Wisdom has nothing to do with a degree. Wisdom has nothing to do with going to a university.
Amen.
I don't care if you got out of the second grade. If you'll trust the Lord and stay in this book and follow Him, you can be a man or a woman full of wisdom. You can have a PhD and not have any wisdom, not have any sense. There's several of them denying the existence of God. They're foolish. Verse number 13, consider the work of God, for who can make that straight which He hath made crooked? Wisdom is, you consider what God's done. And by the way, only God can straighten out the crooked. We can't straighten them out. We need to pray that God will do a work. I'm taking that a little bit out of context of the passage, but you need to understand something. If you're talking about, well, so-and-so's crooked and so-and-so over here is lost, so-and-so over here is not doing right, and I just don't know what to do, you pray God to change them. And that's the only thing you can do. Only God can straighten out the crooked. Man can't. But listen, that's what this thing is saying, is that no man can do anything against God. Consider the work of God. For who can make that straight which He hath made crooked? You know what wisdom will tell you? Wisdom will tell you not to fight against God. I preached a message I don't know how long it's been ago now, that God's going to win, you're going to lose. Any of you here for that message? Remember that message? The message in a nutshell was just, hey man, you can beat your head up against the wall and fight against God and strive against Him all you want to. But when the dust settles and the smoke clears, guess who's going to win and guess who's going to lose? Now, I don't know about you, but any little bit of wisdom I do have tells me, instead of going through all that, man, I just need to go ahead and side up with God. If I side up with God, everything will be a lot better, be a lot smoother, a lot easier. Don't mean you won't have troubles and bad time, but I'm going to tell you something. I'd rather suffer for righteousness than suffer for being an idiot.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Sure you would. I believe you would. Here he goes. In the day of prosperity, be joyful. In the day of adversity, but in the day of adversity, consider God also has set the one over against the other to the end that man should find nothing after him. Listen, folks, you ought to enjoy it and enjoy when things are good. But just remember this, the bad times are coming along with the good times. And on earth, we don't know what tomorrow holds, but thank God we know who holds tomorrow.
Amen.
Now, Solomon here is speaking about things under the sun. And he's exactly right. You have some good days, you have some bad days. You have some days of joy, and you have some days of sorrow. And if you just look at things under the sun and just keep it down here on earth and exclude God from it, it seems pretty bleak. You say, man, my life is just, I'm all, you know, one sickness after another, one problem after another, one heartache after another, one death after another. But with God, He changes the whole thing. And one thing we can learn from Solomon as we go through the book of Ecclesiastes is that we'll get the same kind of depressing outlook if we only focus on this world under the sun for what it gives. Listen, you've got to get a strength and you've got to get a mindset and you've got to get a hope that's not from this world. If all you have in this world, you're miserable, miserable, miserable. And that's why I see so many Christians sometimes that are miserable. They don't have any joy of their salvation. They walk around with a frown on their face. They don't enjoy life. I'm not saying they're not saved, but what I'm saying is that they're so caught up in the rat race of this world, money, and this, and that, and gotta do this, and gotta do that, and wanna have this, and wanna have that. And somehow they're still convincing their mind that their happiness and fulfillment is gonna come in pleasure, and satisfying and gratifying themselves. And they sit in the church and look at me in a miserable way, because you're still not convinced it's not down here. How many chapters do we have to go through Sunday night after Sunday night before some of you get it in your mind and your heart is not down here? It's up there. And anything good that happens down here is God sending it from up there. Boy, it'd help you if you know that. Now let's look at the comparison of wisdom. Verse number 15, all things have I seen in the days of my vanity. There is a just man that perisheth in his righteousness. There is a wicked man that prolongeth his life in his wickedness. Now, he's speaking under the sun, of course. He's speaking about what he sees in his daily life. We've all seen the wicked live long and prosperous and the righteous die young. But that's under the sun. And it's above the sun that matters. See, you can't get a fix on the thing of how God looks. Listen, you and I got to be very careful when we look at situations sometimes. We think, man, this just don't seem fair. This just don't seem right. Here's a kid, a good kid, a saved kid, a kid that was sweet and loves the Lord, 13 or 14, dies with a cancer or something. And some old drunk, some old godless infidel over there, God lets him live, they be 80 or 90, and he's got plenty of money and plenty of this, and I'm struggling to pay my bills, and I tithe, and I do right for God, and look at them. Listen, you got to be careful about that stuff. Because you and I are seeing it like Solomon sees it, as a man, even though he was a lot smarter than us, as a man on the earth. God's seeing it a whole different way and understands a lot more about it than you and I even understand. His ways are past finding out. I don't try to figure that stuff out no more. I just try to comfort and strengthen those who go through it. And hope if I ever have to go through something like that, you'll just comfort and strengthen me. We don't need any explanations. We just need comfort and solace. That's what we need. But folks, you better remember something. When we're talking about wisdom, when you're trying to figure these things out, sometimes there are things that you don't understand. I thought about this. This is just one thing. And this is just some old country boy logic. Whenever I see a child that's two or three and has cancer or has some kind of horrific wreck or accident and they die, and I look at so-and-so over here, and he's, 60 years old and full of the devil. And you say, why did God let that happen? Why did God let that happen? Well, of course, I have no answer. But there are some things that maybe God knows that you don't know. One thing I have thought about before is this. That child wrecks and dies at two or three. They have no knowledge really of good and evil. They have not reached the age of accountability for God to deal with. That child goes straight into heaven. And some grandmother that may have died may have been praying for that youngin to go to heaven. And if God wouldn't have let that youngin die with that disease at three, God knows in his foreknowledge that that youngin would have grew up and died in some kind of bar fight at 30, lost, and went to hell. We don't think about stuff like that. We don't. You have to remember, listen, don't try to figure it out and surmise about it, just like I was sort of giving you my point of view on it. Don't try to do that, but just remember that when these things happen down here, they appear one way in the physical realm, but in the spiritual realm, God's looking at it totally different, okay? And just remember this, it's all coming out in the wash. These folks down here just living up evil and thinking they're getting ahead, they get theirs right now. We don't get ours right now. We're supposed to suffer and deny ourselves right now. We get ours as an eternal inheritance. You have to remember that stuff. If you don't, you'll get bitter and you possibly get upset with God about stuff. Verse number 16, be not righteous over much, neither make thyself overwise. Why shouldest thou destroy thyself? Now that's sort of a strange verse because I don't know that anybody can get too righteous or be too wise. And how's that going to destroy yourself? Well, you can't be too righteous or too wise when it comes to godly wisdom and godly righteousness. But boy, when you get too self-righteous and have too much worldly wisdom, you know what? You know, the more you know about the world, all it's going to do is you're going to learn more ways to sin and more ways to be disappointed.
Amen.
And if you try more ways to be righteous and to do better and clean yourself up, you're just going to get more discouraged and find out what a wicked, no good for nothing sinner you are.
Amen.
That it's just the grace of God. It's just His goodness. It's just His Spirit within us that makes us say and do and act in any way at all that's pleasing to God. It's not us. Absolutely not us. Verse number 17, be not overmuch wicked, neither be thou foolish. Why shouldest thou die before thy time? Everybody look up at this verse. He tells you too much wickedness and foolishness can cause you to die before your time. Yes, everybody look up here at me. How many of you have been taught, and I heard it when I was young, when the Lord gets ready for you to go, you're going to go and ain't nothing going to happen. You can't do nothing about it. God's got a set date and a set time and there it is and that's when you're going to die. How many of you ever heard that? Well, you heard wrong. Obviously, God knows when you're going to die. Obviously, God's in control of it. But did you read the Bible? Now, hey, listen, don't believe your grandpappy. Don't believe what you was taught since you was younger. Are you going to believe the Bible tonight?
Yeah.
I'm going to believe the Bible. I'm not going to believe Grandpappy. I'm going to believe the Bible. Why shouldest thou die before thy time? You can shorten your life. You stand in here and you say, well, I tell you what, if God's got his time for me to die and it don't matter, I'm going to go stand out there in that highway and just stand out there and do the Titanic thing here up on the, like you did on the bow of the boat, whatever comes by and runs me over. I tell you what's going to happen, brother. You're going to be just dead because of your stupidity.
Amen.
You can speed it up. There's other verses. 1 Corinthians 11, when he's talking to him about a minister to partaking of the Lord's Supper, he says, some of you are sickly and some of you are asleep because you partook of the Lord's Supper wrong. 1 John 5, he talks about a sin for the Christians unto death. You can rush your life up. You can rush your death up, rather. You go on and you know, some people get away with it. That's all in God's business. But you go on and keep smoking two packs a day. You'll die sooner than you're supposed to. You walk around 300 and 400 pounds. You'll die sooner than you're supposed to. You will. This business about, well, there's a time when God's got me to die. Ain't nothing nobody can do about it. That's foolishness. That's not Bible. God says how you live and how you obey Him will determine the longevity of your life. Here's one. How many, all you teenagers and young kids, look up here at me. Did you know that the Bible teaches there's one commandment out of 10 that has a promise to it? Do you young folks know which one commandment that is? It's the one that says honor your father and mother. And the promise is that you may live, that you have a longer life. Do you know that your lifespan has to do with how you honor your father and mother? If you fuss at your father and mother and cuss your father and mother and rebel against your father and mother and treat them in a wicked way, you could be shortening your life. Amen from the teenage section. All right. You better understand that. You better understand that. Verse number 18. It is good that thou shouldest take hold of this. Yea, also from this, withdraw not thine hand, for he that feareth God shall come forth of them all. Amen, amen, and amen. He's going to come. Hey, the fellow that fears God, he's one going to come out on top. You say, well, I fear God all my life, and I always, you know, if I'd finish last in a one-man race. Maybe down here on earth, But not in heaven. See, here's the thing. You've got to look at it not just in the physical realm, in the spiritual realm. You and I, listen, you and I not only trust God that we put our faith in Him that He's going to save us, but we trust Him in a lot of other things. The Bible says over in Hebrews, he that believes in God must believe that He's a rewarder of them. That I'm not getting a verse right here off my head, but what I'm saying is we have to believe that God's going to reward us. We have to have the belief that what this Bible tells us to do with our time and our talents and our money and our life while we live our whole life here on earth is going to be worth it and going to pay off. We don't see that take place here in our everyday. We don't, we're doing it by faith. We're saying, hey, I'm not going to live the way they do. I'm not going to do the things they do. I'm not going to go that route. And I may not see the results in my lifetime, but in eternity it's going to pay off. And I have to, by faith, believe that. I hope you will. It will pay off. I believe that. excuse me. Verse number 19. Wisdom strengtheneth the wise more than 10 mighty men which are in the city. Wisdom is more important than strength. Wisdom is not more important than strength. Do you know that the best fighters in the world are not the strongest, not the biggest, not the meanest? They're the wisest. I don't know if any of you ever watches any of that fighting on TV where they get in that octagon and fighting, whatever. Now listen, obviously those fellas are in shape and obviously they're good physical athletes. But you know how they get to be professional and win championships and all? It ain't just because they're athletic. There's a lot of people that's athletic. There's a lot of people that's fast. A lot of people that's strong. They've learned the science behind fighting. When you come at them, they're three moves ahead of you. They're saying, yeah, I'm going to block his punch, turn it around there, put his head down, choke him out. They know what they're going to do. And if I was going to fight a war, I'd take a bunch of smart, wise people any day over a bunch of tough, trained people. Any of you ever heard that thing out in the world, you can work harder, you can work smarter? You need wisdom. Wisdom's where it's at. I think if you were to study some of the battles that took place in the Civil War under the leadership of Robert E. Lee, outside of Gettysburg, I think that was a bad deal there. But outside of Gettysburg, man, they was all the time, he was outnumbered. And outgunned and everything else, but he was so smart. He took his wisdom and his ability to devise battle plans and win time and time and time and time again. Very smart. Verse number 20. For there is not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Boy, that's a good one. All, the Bible says, Romans 3:10, there's none righteous, no, not one. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. 3:23, 1 John 1:8, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Now, there's many people that do good, but they all sin. All sin. Noah did good, but he gets off the ark, and after God preserved him, just 8 people in the whole world, he goes and gets drunk. Moses was a good man, led the whole nation of Israel out of Egyptian bondage, but Moses was a murderer. David was a man after God's own heart. His name is mentioned more in the Bible than any other body's name, any other person's name outside of a name for God in the Bible, and he's an adulterer. Peter was a great, great leader. He was in the inner circle of the three, Peter, James, and John, for the Lord Jesus Christ. He authored 2 books in this Bible. He denies the Lord. Every great man, that's what you got to get a hold of. Well, Brother Dennis said this, and Brother Dennis done that, and Brother Dennis. Listen, man, the greatest people in the Bible did that. I would hope that you wouldn't look at me, and I would hope that you wouldn't look at each other. I certainly don't look at you like, listen, if one of you do something bad or say something bad or mess up or whatever, I don't look at you and say, yeah, boy, they're just a rotted person. You can't do that to somebody. Everybody's a sinner and everybody has character flaws. Can I hear amen? Everybody has character flaws. I would hope what you would do is take Brother Dennis in the whole. You take Brother Dennis and you look at me in the totality of my life. Take Brother Dennis and take me in the total of all the things you've seen me do. All the things you've heard me say. All the ways you've watched me act. And and over the years and watch me. And then make your decision about me. You can't take just, well, brother, you know, and people do that with preachers many times. Preacher may do 10 good things and they'll forget it. But if he does one bad thing, man, everybody, they'll let you remember it. You can't do that with people. We're all sinners. We all drop the ball. We all do wicked. We have to, you can't just throw out somebody and say, well, they're just not a good person. They're not a good Christian. Well, you remember he got mad over here and said this. Yeah, he did. He did. And he was wrong. And you need to pray for him. But that's just because he is a human being. And so when you're going to look at somebody and judge what kind of person they are, God said David's a pretty good fellow. How many of you in here has killed somebody and murdered and well, don't answer this other question about adultery, but hopefully most of you. Anyway, hey, ain't none of us in here like David. None of us in here like him. Some of you in here ain't never been drunk. Some of you haven't. Probably not many, but some of you. God ain't never going to use you like he did Noah. You have to think about this stuff. And think about it. You don't judge a man by, you judge him by overall, what is he? Verses 21 through 22. excuse me. Also take no heed unto all the words that are spoken, lest thou hear thy servant curse thee. These are good verses here. For oftentimes also thine own heart knoweth that thou thyself likewise hast cursed others. Listen, everybody, please look up here at me for these scriptures. Don't you get, you Baptists, you folks, you're good at this. You get so mad and upset about somebody talking about you. Boy, I've heard it before. Well, you ought to heard what so-and-so said. And I found out he said this. I found out he said that. And boy, you got a claim and you get mad and you get bitter and you get all puffed up, blow up like a bullfrog. And you're steadily running your mouth about everybody. What is it? Hey, folks, don't lose me now. Hey, you think you ought to be able to talk about people behind their back and them not say anything, and then when they do it about you? I can't believe that. You better believe it. For oftentimes also thine own heart knoweth that thou thyself likewise hast cursed others. You mad about them cursing you? How many other people you cursed? You like to be in the crowd, do you, and get everybody around you and talk about somebody else? So you can look like you the big one and the important one. Let me tell you, when you go home, another crowd develops. And guess who's the center of the topic? Who's center of conversation? That crowd. Some of the same ones that was looking at you going, yeah, that's right, honey, they're bad. When you leave, they're talking about you. Oh, I know you don't like that. You want to talk about people, and they get mad when they talk about you behind your back. Yeah. I think there's a word for that in the Bible. What is? Oh, yeah, hypocrite. Yeah, amen. If you want to shoot your mouth off at somebody, you can just shoot it off. But don't come here, oh, brother, do this. I'm on Facebook, blah, blah. Okay, what have you said on Facebook? Well, I don't get on Facebook. What do you say on the phone? Yeah. We give an invitation right now. got one more small section. We'll finish this up tonight. We're going to look for the search for wisdom. Looking for wisdom. And the problem is people are looking for wisdom in all the wrong places. That's the problem. It really is. Verse number 23-24, all this have I proved by wisdom. I said, I will be wise, but it was far from me. That which is far off and exceeding deep, who can find it out? Solomon found out that he knew some things. He had great wisdom and he searched diligently for more wisdom, but he realized he really didn't know anything in comparison to God. Yeah. If you're in search for great wisdom, you may find some, but you're going to... You know what a wise person really finds out? Here's a true test of whether or not you're really growing in wisdom. If you're really growing in wisdom and you're really developing in wisdom in your life and in your heart, here's a sure sign of it. You think you're more stupid and no less today than you ever have.
Amen.
See, some of you ain't getting wisdom because you didn't even understand that. Some of you understand it perfectly, don't you? If you read your Bible, I'm not trying to be ugly and insult you right here then, but you don't never spend no time in your Bible. That's why you're getting no wisdom. The more, listen, let me explain it again. The more you're in this book, and the more you learn about God, and the wiser you get about spiritual things, and the wiser you get about things of God, the more you realize how much you really don't know.
Amen.
You feel more stupid and more ignorant and more incomplete.
Amen.
As God gives more and more light, right now we got fairly good light in here. And all this around here where I'm preaching and all, I mean, my pulpit looks clean, my book looks clean, everything looks clean and nice. But boy, if they got one of them sure enough big lights in here right now and boom, zoomed it down in there, you see old dirt particles floating everywhere.
Yeah.
The more light that's on something and exposes it, the more dirt you see. And what happens is the more God shows you something, the more God teaches you, the more God shows you, the more you realize you don't know nothing.
Amen.
Let me tell you something, folks. Let me tell you something. Right now, at 44 years old, and I was just talking to a fellow about this the other day, me being in the Bible all these years and being in the Bible college and in the commentary, sitting up under a good preacher, studying and growing and praying, I honestly feel like I don't know any Bible at all. I really feel that way. I'm not putting on. I'm not trying to have false piety. I'm not trying to act like, oh, no, Brother Dennis, you really do, and get you to brag on me and all like other. I'm telling you, as God is my witness, I am ashamed of how much lack of spiritual knowledge and biblical knowledge that I have. I really, really feel that way. Because there's so much out there to obtain. And I haven't got it. When you start getting wise, you'll find out how much you really don't have. You won't be a legend in your own mind. I applied mine heart to know and to search and to seek out wisdom and the reason of things and to know the wickedness and folly, even the foolishness and madness. Solomon was in search for answers. He was going to pursue whatever he had to find them. All I can tell you is that him will understand it better by and by. Sometimes that's the only thing you're going to have to go to bed with. We'll just understand it better by and by. That's it. Verse 26, and I find more bitter than death the woman whose heart is snares and nets and her hands are as bands. Whoso pleases God shall escape from her, but the sinner shall be taken by her. Now here's a verse you might want to pay attention to, men, young men. He says, Solomon says, more bitter than death is a bad woman. And I reckon Solomon old and new, he had 1,000 of them.
Amen.
I reckon he's a pretty good fellow to write on this, don't you?
Yeah.
Now notice what he says here, which is very interesting. He says that, well, let's just read it again. It says, whoso pleases God shall escape from her, but the sinner shall be taken by her. Listen, everybody look up here at me. How many of you teenagers, I know some of you are younger, some of you are older. How many of you do not want to mess up and get married to a rotful, mean, wicked, adulterous, untrustworthy woman? Sure. Amen. That's the right response. All right. If you don't live to please God, He will let one come and deceive you. And that'll be exactly what you get. There it is in the verse, fellas. Whoso pleases God shall, what does it say? Shall escape from her. That you go out there and wicked and say, boy, man, she's fine. Boy, she's beautiful. Ooh, did you see her? Oh, you looking is on the outside. She'll ruin you. She'll ruin you. And you know why you even took up with her? You're living for yourself. If you'd been living for God, you wouldn't have gave her the time of day. You'd had enough sense to realize ever how she looks on the outside don't mean nothing.
Amen.
Nothing. I gave you boys some good information. Hope you'll remember it. Verse number 27. Behold, this hand I found. Behold, this have I found, saith the preacher, counting one by one to find out the account, which yet my soul seeketh, but I find not one man among a thousand have I found, but a woman among all these have I not found. Now, why did he use a thousand there? He said, out of a thousand, I found one man out of a thousand, but out of a thousand, I didn't find one woman. That's how many women he had. He said, I've had 1,000 women, fellas, listen to me. I've been with, physically married, had 1,000 different women. You know how some of you young boys was. I was 17 or 18. You think about all that stuff right now. 1,000 different, all these women, all beautiful women. You know what? He said, I didn't find one of them that was worth anything. Not one of them. Not one of them. You better think about that stuff. You know why Solomon was looking for them in the wrong places. You listen. You don't find your wife in the bar. You don't find your wife over the internet. You don't find your wife at the racetrack. Well, I just believe God put us together. Where was y'all at? We was in there playing the slot machine together. And her eyes met my eyes, and I hit, and I thought, jackpot! No, you're smoking pot! It wasn't jackpot. You're smoking pot. You gotta look further than all the right. Alright, let's get us out of here tonight. Amen. Verse number 29. Lo, this only have I found that God hath made man upright, but they have sought out many inventions. God made man upright. Adam and Eve were perfect. They sought to do wicked, and they have made wicked inventions. All kind of wicked tools of torture. Nuclear bombs, computer viruses, pornographic stuff. They're just wicked. Man's just constantly making up something, inventing something wicked. It's not God's fault that you're wicked. God made man upright, but we are sinners by nature, and we're sinners by choice. And so all we can say tonight as we end this, when everything goes bad and everything goes wrong and everything's rough in this world, is God, it's my fault. And if I didn't do it, it's somebody else's fault. But I know for one thing for sure, Lord, it's certainly not your fault. All right, that's the end of the study tonight. God